Hey y'all, this is Julio with For Filth, and you're listening to the episode on trans beauty with our very special guest, London Darling.
What did you say your name was?
Like, it's London motherfucking Darling on the show. Like, let's be real. Like, she's a drag queen. She's an entertainer and MC out of Gainesville by way of Tampa, Florida. We've been following this lady for years, some of us through college, myself after college. It's a little embarrassing. I'm in my 30s at this point, but it's cool. She's here to talk to us and with us about trans beauty in America.
Okay, everyone, welcome to our episode on trans and beauty. This episode is basically going to be us talking about beauty through the lens of transness. And thankfully, today we have probably the person I fangirl. I had to wait to say this until now. But London, who is currently living in Gainesville, Florida, my hometown, technically for my university.
London's active in Gainesville, but she's out of Tampa, right?
My heart's
in Gainesville.
Oh, you're in Tampa. Go on.
Right. She expanded, bigger city, bigger dreams, but she knows she comes and graces us with her presence every once in a while.
Just down the highway.
I think all of our hearts are still in Gainesville. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's be all the way 100. I'm holding those them like I have them unlocked, so. Oh.
It's a hostage situation.
It's very Stranger Things, those tendrils that come out of the other side and like hold on to you as you're going. That's how Gainesville is.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a great city for all of the good and the bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you, London, for being on with us. I really appreciate it. As I said, I fangirled. I was like a university student from like 2012 to 2015. So I saw your earlier shows. I went almost every other Saturday night. So I saw the girls all the time. And that was when Kelly and Jay Jolie were there too.
Jay Jolie. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Ooh, back in the day.
From the past. I live.
I just revealed that I'm 30. It's fine.
I know. I was like, ooh, we're not going to talk about age.
We already have.
I'm like, I don't see that on the list here. No. I did not approve. My manager did not approve of that question.
So let's like start off with our main question. And the main question is pretty vague. It's just, you know, is beauty on the inside or the outside? And I put this question down because I kind of wanted to see how everyone feels aesthetically about themselves and about how other people see them aesthetically. Because I know beauty for me is on the inside. But then I'm also a failed dermatologist, and I know that beauty is on the outside. So I wonder how everyone else feels.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely chomp into it. But London, do you want to maybe like give our listeners maybe a little introduction of like you and who you are as a maybe like performer or just person and kind of that kind of aspect?
No, I'm good.
She's like, a woman of mystery. I live.
Yeah, like, mysterious. Google me. Actually, no, don't Google me. All right. My name is London. Darling is my stage name. I have been doing drag for a few years, about 15 years now, since I very first started, just as a baby drag queen doing horrible versions of the drag that I'm still doing 15 years later. I transitioned around the same time. They kind of coincided both for me. Like I've had a lot of different versions of London through the years. And it's just a journey that has continued to grow. And even within the last few years, when I thought that I was the final form of myself, that I discovered that I really wasn't, and that I'm still growing inside and out. And I think that's all right. I think that we all should be open to that.
Work. Okay. And then for your is beauty on the inside or the outside question, how do you feel?
That is definitely tough. We all want to say, oh, yes, beauty is definitely on the inside. But I think society tells us that very much is on the outside. I also feel like you can be, quote unquote, beautiful on the outside, but feel very, very ugly on the inside. And I think that that, I'm not going to say controls the outside, but I think that it controls your own view of yourself. I think that we put ourselves down so much, we're our own critiques. So when we see ourselves, we can't sometimes get past that version of ourselves that we have in our heads, whether it's dysmorphia or whether it's just our own past and our own versions of ourselves that we have that we're hanging on to. I think that for someone to feel beautiful, they have to feel beautiful on the inside, no matter what they look like on the outside.
I think that's so huge. True. Obviously, like I'm, well, not obviously, well, just for the sake of the listener, I identify as a cis person, but one thing that I know as a, you know, Black person of size in the queer community is that there's this conversation you have to have about beauty with yourself and with others. I don't think personally that it's on the inside or the outside. I think it's actually in, it's everywhere. And that really beauty is about finding, is about having healthy conversations between you and yourself and those who are receiving you. And being able to feel like you're being heard or being seen in the way that you like is, I think, a part of what makes you feel beautiful on the outside. But I also feel like taking that input or that feedback from the world around you and finding healthy ways to sort of incorporate it into your journey is also really important as well. I know for me, I had to find my aesthetic as a Black person, as a heavier person, and I had to learn that over time, there were better and worse ways that I could go about taking the feedback from the world around me. When I was rejected, for instance, like, how do I process rejection? How do I put it in context of, you know, where I live and who I'm around, as opposed to my like value as a person?
I agree. I think that, you know, it's something that can change daily. You know, I'll wake up some days and I will feel like the most gorgeous person in the world and nothing has changed. And then the next day I'm like, oh, wow, I'm a dumpster fire person. Like, great. Love this for me.
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about it. Like, there's a feeling of beauty and then there's kind of this like abstract thing or maybe even like guidelines, because there's like, you know, there's a pretty privileged type of thing that happens where, you know, beauty is quote unquote in the eye of the beholder, but somehow people that look a certain way are at like the highest parts of desirability in every kind of aspect of it, where people that have certain features are always propped up here, or there's some sort of like a mainstream aesthetic when it comes to beauty. So there's a, like a feeling of beauty, which can be achieved by anyone. And it's all about how you feel on the inside. I feel like that's like pretty much not even taking into account what it is on the outside, but the feeling is something that everyone is able to have, like the feeling of being beautiful and the confidence of like being beautiful and knowing that you're beautiful no matter what.
I think that's why the word aesthetic is so huge too, as part of this conversation. And it's one that Dolce introduced to the conversation earlier, because on some level, I think we are all aware that there are just people who walk, you know, they walk outside and they just don't have issues, right? Like people don't look at them and give them problems when it comes to the way that they look, whether it's because they're exceptionally beautiful or they're just plain enough that it's not a big deal what they look like. You know, in some cases, I think there are people who would wish to be even just not noticed as opposed to being more beautiful than, you know, the average person. But I think an aesthetic is huge as like an aspect of this, because I think finding your aesthetic and leveraging that understanding as like a part of the way you present yourself to yourself and to the world around you, the clothes you choose to wear, the way you choose to like have like form an attitude around the way that you look and present yourself is huge too, because that's something you can actually control. You can say to yourself, like, I like being this size, or I like this hair color on me. I like this aspect of myself that's maybe been processed by other people or has been rejected by other people. You can take that and accept it for yourself. So I think that's super huge too.
Yeah. Mentioning aesthetic, like, London, you've worked in nightlife for a decent amount of time. And I'm wondering how working in nightlife, working in queer nightlife specifically, how has that impacted you personally on what you see as beautiful, or what are some of the things that queer nightlife introduced to you that showed you what quote unquote beauty is?
That's That is tough because it's that has changed over the years, even like everyone's, you know, style and everyone's aesthetic and things have changed over the years. I think that the one thing is that I would see at the clubs versus like what I see in like mainstream media, or at least up until probably the last like 7 years or so, was just the amount of diversity, like as far as like styles. When you go to the like the queer culture and you go to those clubs, like you would see a lot of things like we're seeing more of now, because there's a lot more, it's accepted a lot more, the diversity in style and the way people present themselves and their identity, their gender identity and things like that. But we've been seeing that in the queer culture, in the gay clubs for quite a while. But that's been closed off to like mainstream like media and celebrities and things like that haven't really pursued that. But now you have people like Machine Gun Kelly, who's running around with, you know, he's like, even since he like, just to throw some pop reference in there, but you know, since he started dating Megan Fox, like I've seen such a change in him, like where he's gotten a lot more comfortable with himself. So he's wearing his hair pink and he's wearing jewelry and he's painting his nails and stuff like that. You didn't see that in like references, pop culture references as much, you know, 10 years ago. And we've been seeing that in the queer space for quite a while. So I think that that gave me this broader sense of like what I considered beautiful, was more individual than like a mass beauty, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. No, that does make a lot of sense. I've always seen that queer nightlife kind of gets influenced by the mainstream, but honestly, it even when you think about that, it's obviously vice versa too, where anything that happens in the queer clubs or warehouse parties or whatever, the poppy juices of the world, the hushes, like the fashions always go right back to the, I know I mentioned it,
but, not, you know, not the, New York, bitch.
She's adding the girls.
She's coming from New York.
But you know, the fashions and the beauty trends and things like that, they always go back to the mainstreams. The girls will, I follow surgeons all day and night, and the people I see at the clubs who do things that aren't necessarily mainstream, it always comes back to a Kim K or a Courtney or a Megan, even any of these girls. You know, they weren't doing endoscopic brow lifts when like some of the queer girls were doing it, but then all of a sudden it became very, very prevalent for Megan Fox, Bella Hadid, Kendall Jenner, like so many girls who've done the same surgeries, and you think, why is that? And then you look back at our community, you're like, well, high femmes, all the high femmes, all of the people who've like made those statements and have done those things and have aesthetically worn them forever have been doing them and weren't recognized until someone who made millions came out and said, okay, well now it's okay, mm-hmm. because I can post on Instagram and have millions and millions of followers with my brow lift. But you know, condemn the non-cis people for what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And I think surgical procedures goes into a whole other aspect of beauty. Like, I mean, there's so many things of it. Like there's the aesthetic, there's the style, there's like physical beauty, there's the feeling of beauty. Like there's just so many things that can go into it. But I agree. Like, I think that as it's gotten more mainstream and you see the people like Kim and you see Courtney and all them, they kind of bring it into the light a little bit more, but then it's like, okay, well, we've been doing this. Like we've, you know, what was wrong when we were doing it? But it was because it wasn't out there. It wasn't mainstream. And I think that it comes with good and bad. Like I want for it to be more mainstream, but I don't want it to be on the backs of heterosexual, like cisgender people, still like not stealing, but like taking those things and using them if they want to use them for themselves, great. But if they're like building a following on it, and they're not representing the culture that it came from or anything like that, I think that that's where I have a problem. To me, I'm like, well, I just want us all to get along. And hey, if Kim wants to take me to get a brow lift, I'll take it. But like, it's one of those things where it's like, you applaud that it's getting out there a lot more, because then it does kind of normalize it for, you know, Samantha Sue that wants to go get her brow lift over my next door neighbor, or, you know, if Jonathan wants to get a nose job, it allows, kind of opens that door and makes it a little more quote unquote normal. So it really does, you know, there's a double-sided sword.
I know we'll probably get into it more during this conversation, but I would definitely love to just like reserve space to have a bigger conversation around like the beauty of body mods and plastic and how, and even like the conversation between like, you know, honestly, a lot of what people would consider to be like a trans aesthetic and how it's having a conversation back and forth with cis women's beauty standards nowadays. Cause I know that was a huge conversation probably like a year ago about like how like more and more cis women are taking on kind of like queer high femme aesthetics as their own, which is not necessarily good or bad. I think that's like a fun combo we could have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that I literally had a conversation with someone about, I mean, we can go into it later on, but like I had a conversation with someone, I would say probably 8 or 9 years ago. And it was, I was mutual friends with a group of cis females and they were like surged out of their mind. Like they had their breasts done, their booties done, like, and they were walking through New York and guys were literally calling them trans. I'm not going to use the slur or whatever, but the T word. And like, because they did appear to, you know, like if like there is this like look of an overly like surgical, like feminine look, you know? So it's, and they had that even though they were cis women. So it's like, it does blur the lines of like, it's crazy. And it's cool that it kind of, it goes into this like Barbie doll aesthetic or whatever. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can just follow the vibe and go into it.
Well, that's what she just said, Barbie doll aesthetic. I did feel like it could be cool to talk about, like, what is London Darling's aesthetic from your perspective? Is does it line up with that concept or is it something else?
I have no idea. if Shrek and Barbie and Kim Kardashian had a baby, that would be me.
Britney Spears a little bit. Please. In there, maybe?
Oh, yes. And Britney. Britney, of course. Yeah. It was a big orgy and everyone got together and just, but yeah, my aesthetic, I don't know. I always, it's like Barbie light. Like I want to look like a Barbie, but I want to look real. If that makes sense. Like I like the polish, the like feminine, the, you know, like put together, like quote unquote classic feminine beauty or whatever. But I don't want to look fake. Like I don't want to look like 1,000 other people. I still want to look like myself. And if I wanted to have 50 surgeries on my face, I could, and I have no qualms for anyone that does that. But for me personally, it's like, I want to look as close to that as possible, but still look like myself and look like a real person.
Work. I mean, even your name honestly evokes beauty to me. Like just hearing the name London, like I've only ever heard that name once, one other time, and that was like America's Next Top Model years ago when there was a contestant named London. And I'm just wondering, where did you get the influence for that name, actually?
Oh my god, it's so lame. Like it's not even cool. I have to come up with, I need to come up with like a cool backstory for whenever I get on RuPaul or whatever. like no. So no, like I don't know if you ever watched Disney Channel Sweet Life of London Zack and Tipton. Cody. London Tipton.
I've heard it twice.
Literally, so London Tipton was my girl. And it's funny because my dead name, my boy name or whatever was Zach. And so it was like, I kind of identify with Zach and Cody. And then it was like London. I was looking for a nickname. And it's funny because like my first name, actually, I'm not even going to say it. It's so lame. I'll save it for my book, Green Lantern.
Brand it here.
Look for my book on shelves in 2029.
I love that for you. Okay, but it's funny because I genuinely was like, oh my god, London Tipton, because London has that aesthetic of like kind of like pop, like she's like the camp version of it, maybe the young campy girl version of it, but I can see the lines connecting for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. It's like I liked it. She was like over the top and like it was like she was like the quote unquote heiress, like rich girl, but then she was like comical about it. Like that's the thing is that I like being sexy, fun, beautiful, but like also dumb and fun and campy and, you know, like making fun of myself, making fun of beauty, like, you know, it is what it is.
I was just actually, it's so funny that you say that, because I was just having this conversation with someone the other day. This is like a random anecdote. But she says one time, because I love how campy she is, she said one time to, I think, I forget who it was to, but she said that she's so rich that her limos are so long that whenever she wants to turn, she has to change limos. And I said it like out of, I was like, does no one remember this? Like, she is like the campiest, most like funny person, and she doesn't even know it, which is like her power. It's like, she's just so funny.
Brenda Song changed the face of wealth in Disney.
Right. No,
she really did. She really did. She walked so Sharpay Evans or what's her name could write.
100,000%.
I've never seen High School Musical, so I don't even know how I remembered that last name.
Oh.
Snaps for me. Snaps.
You saw the Cheetah Girls though, at least, right?
No, I haven't.
What?
Oh no.
I know Raven Simone is in it, and that's
I always said that if I ever was like if I was ever into drag, I would definitely take inspiration from Raven Simone, and that's a Raven, because that is like,
see it.
She's that girl.
She's like me as a girl.
I thought I already thought that was your aesthetic. Like,
it kind of gives that. It kind of gives that.
It's reading very that.
I can see the future. Yes.
Raven Simone, honestly, the queen of beauty at that time. Let's be real about it.
No, like, that was the Disney it girl. Yeah. Like, I love me some Hillary Duff.
She was working.
But sorry, Miley. Sorry, Hillary. It was really Raven for me.
We're talking about someone who had a fully realized aesthetic, someone who even dabbled in drag a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, like someone who always was giving you a look, always giving you a beat. Like, it was just all around, like, giving you beauty from every angle.
It was cool.
And it was the attitude. It was like, you know, she like owned it, you know, like she owned it. She was like, this is my look.
Another aspect I think of the whole beauty conversation too, that we sort of touched on, but Raven's such a great example of that, because she was like, you know, kind of like this like thick, busty black girl on television in a time where it was really like all about the thin, you know, middle America, you know, like all American kind of like brunette or like blonde girl, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, people, I think she's most compared to like Lizzie McGuire, like which show you liked more. And she was winning, in my opinion. You know,
even with her skin tone too, because at first on the Disney Channel, they were like, girl, you might want to stay out of the sun for a little bit, like, because you're getting a little bit too dark for these lights. So I'm like, because she's already light skinned too, so it's just like,
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, she's like so light skinned.
If you watch her, I forget if it's like a documentary or just an interview that she did kind of later in life. She talks about like all of the things that kind of like held her back, and that being for me at least kind of the most surprising, because again, like, she was a light skinned black woman in the early 2000s, and they were telling her like, hey, like, you really gotta like maybe not go to the beach next week because we can't switch up these lights again. And I'm just like, not even Raven Simone is safe. Like, that's what is crazy. Going on?
If you think like, about it happening? Too, she came out of like the best friend lane. Like, there was like a typecasting kind of energy mm-hmm. around her and other girls like her, where they were always like the support girl, that's the best friend. You know, she literally was the best friend of Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, another very iconic movie.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
That was her for a while. And the fact that she was able to come out and be like the showrunner, and still to this day,
a main girly. Like,
I think a lot of people, I think when, especially when you're talking about like movies, television, there's a type of like that comedic relief, like that fat girl or that girl that's not quite together. Like, I'm thinking of like Princess Diaries, the loud one. I forget what her name is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like it's crazy. Like, almost like they couldn't allow the best friend to be as pretty or as cute as the main character, because that would just take away. Or like it's like that her lack of beauty, quote unquote, was like, just allows for her to be that funny role or whatever. It's just like, that's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. And like the contrast, the contrast of being like, here's the super beautiful one, and here's like the kind of blah one. Like, it's so simple almost. Like, the way they think about it, it's like, oh, like, people can't even understand having two like at the same rank pretty people standing next to each other. We have to have this weird dichotomy.
Yes, exactly. That's one thing I liked about Mean Girls, is like, you know, they were all like the plastics. Like, you had Karen, who was dumb, but at least she was like considered the same level of beauty as the other plastics, you know. It's like, so it's like, they didn't throw in that, like, quote unquote, ugly girl for, you know, the plastics. I mean, there was Janice, who was the off, you know, the person that wasn't quote unquote normal. And then the gay guy, I don't remember what his name was on
there. Too gay to function.
You know, he was a bigger guy, and he was the gay character. Cause you know, that happens a lot too, where they put the gay character as like the witty sidekick, but they're not any more than that. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's a whole other conversation though.
So just to kind of like bring it back in, how do you feel like media has like impacted your, like, first of all, actually, do you feel like you've seen yourself in media either growing up or even more so now? Like, do you feel like you've been represented, or that there is a form of representation for you as a trans person that has maybe informed your understanding of beauty or your beauty or your beauty journey?
Yeah, Miss Piggy was in the media for a long time.
We're streaming. An icon.
And then she was followed by Anna Nicole Smith. But as far as like trans representation, for the longest, like the only, I grew up in a small rural town in Ohio, like literally not enough people to be, it's literally considered a village even to this day. And so we had no diversity. Like the only thing that I had was like, was TV. Because this was before the internet took off, as sad as that may sound. But like, I look back and I saw those like episodes of like Jerry Springer or like the Sally Jesse Raphael or Maury, where it was like, is it a man or a woman? And it was like, those type of like scenarios were like the only time that I was seeing like trans people, like as actual trans people, you know, being put out there. And it was like so much of like a farce, like, which was like bad, but I did get that exposure, so I'm thankful for it. But as far as like the media, like, and seeing myself represented for a long time, I really didn't. I can't even tell you the first time that I was like, oh wow, you know, it's like great to see this person, because even now I feel like trans people and trans beauty is not, it's almost kind of shoved to the back, or it's like so marginalized, like to a Netflix show or, it could never be like a box office, like success to have someone, you know, huge. I think Laverne was a big point in seeing someone that was trans that was actually making it. And she's a trans woman of color, which was even better. And it's like, wow, okay, come on, sis. Like, you know, we are all rooting for you. And to see like her just get a Barbie dedicated to her is amazing.
Yes.
But I think that really, I mean, other than like the competition shows like RuPaul's Drag Race and like Maury and stuff like that, as far as like mainstream like media, a little bit more higher level, what I would consider, I think Laverne was really a pioneer when it comes to that. And I'm sure there's some others that I'm just really not thinking of, but she's really the first one that comes to my mind. And it was just like, you know, she's beautiful. She comes off as powerful. She is making a name for herself. And that to me is really hitting home.
Yeah. When I think about that, now that just zeroing in on what you said at the end there. So with Laverne, one of our questions is like, what are some of the differences between, you know, what we think of with trans beauty in comparison to like general beauty standards? And I also kind of want to throw in respectability in there, because I think that Laverne being so statuesque, so regal, so Laverne just came off as the perfect person to be in media at the time. How do you feel about her beauty and how that may have translated to her successes?
For sure. Because even on Orange is the New Black, even with like limited makeup, like styling in an orange jumpsuit, like her beauty still translated well. I think that it goes back to that whole thing of like someone's perception of someone else's beauty is definitely powerful. And I think that her beauty it's very hard to explain. Like, to me, it goes back to what I was saying is like, she looks naturally beautiful. Like she looks like she could, that she, I don't know what surgery she's had. I don't know, you know, what she's had done or anything like that. But looking at her, she just looks quote unquote, like naturally beautiful. She doesn't look like she has had too much work. She's tall. She has a great body. And I think that she embodies a lot of what society would consider, you know, beautiful. You look at the supermodels, they're tall, they are toned. So I think that that really does help her. And I think that if it was someone not as beautiful or not as powerful, like visually, like she's a very beautiful, like beautifully powerful looking woman. Mm-hmm. I think that that definitely worked in her favor for sure. And I think that if it's easy to put her up on a pedestal and to get that visual out there, great. You know, you gotta chip away at that iceberg for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I know I feel, please tell me if I'm triggering you at any point with like my questions, but I feel like we're on the precipice of saying it, but it's almost that we want to say passing. We really want to do use that word, but at least I feel like we want to use that word. How do you feel about passing? Is that like kind of where you're going with Laverne, or is that like a separate thing entirely for you?
Yeah, I think that that is, I mean, I think that with transness and beauty, like that passing, I remember like when I first started transitioning, like that was pretty much, I'm not gonna say everyone's goal, but even over the years, trans like identity and things have changed and how people identify and how people express themselves as things have opened up a little bit more. But I think that people that do quote unquote pass, or people that do resemble their cisgender counterpart, do have an easier time. Absolutely. There is no qualm about it. For me, I'm tall as hell. I'm big boned. I'm thick. And so it's like, I always feel like a linebacker. Like I always feel tall. And so it's like, there's this like thing in my head where it's just like, oh, well, you know, if I just wasn't so tall and if I was just like less bulky or whatever, you know, I would feel like I would have no problems passing or whatever. But then I have to remind myself, I'm like, well, I'm here to exist. I'm not here to pass. Like that's like not what I'm here to do. I'm here to just be myself, you know, whatever that means. And, I think that people that do pass, you do have to pull in that society's version of what a beautiful cisgender woman looks like. You have to realize that you are being persuaded by the outside. And that's not a bad thing. That's going back to that Barbie doll reference, like Barbie is an outside influence. And if you are wanting to look like Barbie, then you are being persuaded that this is how you should look. Or, you know, you can say that, oh, it's my choice. I could choose to do this. Yeah. But there's still outside influence there. So I think that with passing, I think that, trans people, there's nothing wrong with it. 100%. I tell, if that will make someone happy, by all means. But I think that it does go a lot with like outside influence and what we think that other people think are beautiful or feminine or whatever.
That's so huge. Mm-hmm. I know that, especially what you're talking about with the concept of like perceiving yourself in your gender expression and seeing like whether you line up to specific norms or not. I know that that's like probably a super marked experience for you as a trans person, but I know myself even like there's times where as a cisgendered gay man, I'm like, do I like fit in with what my gender representation is supposed to be? And then there's like kind of a conversation you have to have with yourself and with society where you have to be strong enough to stand in whatever your truth is, whether it means that you want or need to change things or if you're fine the way you are. What do you think about the idea? And this is something I've always like, I've wanted to talk to trans people about and to get an understanding of their perspective on. And so I'm going to just ask you, what do you think about the idea of the fact that maybe people's relationships to the way that gender should look for you know, the two genders we talk about the most, like that's changing too, right? Like there are women who are very tall and very large, and there are women, there are men who are very feminine and small and petite, right? Like, does that, has that been something that has informed your relationship to your own, maybe if you experience it, your own dysphoria or your own understanding of your body and your gender? Like, has that changed or shifted as society has gotten more accepting? Or
yeah, for sure. And I think this is one of the good things that has come out of the internet and media and things like that, is that before, our worlds were so small. Like, our perception of everything, like, if you didn't know a tall woman, you, like, you didn't know she existed, you know? Or if you didn't see a heavy person in your day-to-day life, I mean, of course, that'd be, like, that's too an extreme or whatever, but, you know, we were only limited to what we saw. And as we go further and further in technology, we see so many different people, so many different types of people online, on TV, on movies, that I think that it is challenging the beauty standards a little bit. And I think it's allowing people to be a little bit more individual, or like they may not feel like they have to fit a certain mold. But I tell you, like, that industry standard or whatever is very strong. I mean, they've put millions and millions and millions of dollars and years into telling us exactly what we should look like. And that's for cisgender men, cisgender women, you know, trans people that are trying to quote unquote pass. I think that the challenging those, is something that has happened and is going to continue happening, hopefully. It's like, I still sometimes feel like when I see like an advertisement that they use, like, I don't know, someone that's not conventionally beautiful, to me, I'm like, okay, this is just a company trying to be like, oh, look, we're not like everybody else or whatever. But then I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter the intention. It matters that it's out there. And so, like, that's what I remind myself. It's like, regardless of like why they're doing it, you know, they're still putting it out there to millions of people. So I think that hopefully that continues and it celebrates like the different beauty standards and things like that.
Yeah, completely. Honestly, I'm not trying to be funny here, but there is a show called Heartstopper. And in it, the two main characters, when you go on YouTube and you like look up videos of them, the top comment on some of these videos is, I am so happy that they are putting unconventionally attractive people in media now.
You know,
I've never seen it. Are they like really cute? Am I gonna like Google later and be like, what the world?
They're like 18-year-old cis gay boys who are just so
like perfect normally. Little six packs, and like the one has a long earring, and they're like, oh my gosh, unconventional beauty standard.
No.
Like,
so to give you some context, okay. And this is funny because this has become like, I feel like media, like I don't feel like, I know media and conversation like these are cyclical, because there were people having this exact same conversation when there were some more prevalent like UK based shows that made it like kind of became hits in America even a couple of years back. And there's this conversation, I think, even about beauty standards in the UK versus the US and how drastically different they can be, like as far as like what your teeth should look like and like what, you know, your aesthetic looks like and the way you present yourself. And so I think Heartstoppers was another kind of like huge moment where we had to really face that again, especially as queer people, because just for your knowledge, Heartstoppers is like a boys love drama that features young boys in the UK who fall in love in high school. And so it was kind of this huge cultural moment. But to Dolce's point, there was like this conversation about the attractiveness of at least one, if not both, of the male leads of the show.
Let's say how we were talking about how there's usually like the super attractive and then like the kind of mid best friend. Think about like like quote unquote two mid people in a relationship. Like, so I'm like, not saying they are, but like that's what the internet, you know, tends to say about them, is like they're kind of just like, there, like,
oh, ugly people can fall in love. Right,
it's not, it's not giving Love, Simon, honey. It's giving Simon.
No. Question mark? Question mark?
Simon? Question mark?
A little different than your pictures, but you know. And I'm not saying that they're ugly, because I'm trying to make that super clear. Like, I'm not saying these people are not cute.
I'm going to say they're ugly.
I haven't seen the show.
I haven't seen
I'm just trying to say
the energy. That,
let me say something brave.
Something controversial and so brave. I just feel like there's different aesthetics for what people think they should look like in different countries. And yeah. I know that in the UK, it's not the same as America, for sure. Yeah, for it's sure. Even and for people, white people, which is the
people are
part.
Always trying to like view media and like take some sort of narrative from it. Like people are always expecting either from marketing or from media that there's like a narrative that people are trying to push. Like even when we're talking about ads and like the beauty brands that kind of, you know, put the quote unquote regular people and like, you know, everyone's beautiful. And like, even that's kind of like a narrative. And even when it comes to things like, even like understanding queerness and understanding transness, like there's a narrative of, you know, born in the wrong body. There's a narrative of, you know, not fitting in or like kind of like having this like voice in the back of your head saying, don't do this or like do that to kind of like get people to understand queer and trans experiences. And like when it comes to beauty, when you're looking at like a TV show and you're like, what is this trying to tell me? It's like, oh, it's because, you know, ugly people fall in love too, or like, you know, are always trying to like push like
that's gonna be the title of the
fourth film.
Ugly people fall in love
ugly
too.
Ugly people fall in love too. There's like always like something kind of being pushed there. Like, and even when you're coming up as a queer person, you feel that you're like, what is the world trying to tell me I should be? And what should I, you know, mold myself into being? Like, London, did you ever feel that, like, kind of coming up? Did you feel like you were getting like a narrative pushed on you in any sort of way?
I didn't really have the representation really coming up, but I would say probably from like, okay, so like my transition kind of went hand in hand with the drag community, the queer spaces and things like that. And I can say that in that specific niche, that there was a trend for everyone wanting to look quote unquote perfect, like a Barbie, like a, you know, like a, like the ideal feminine. You know, they're getting illegal silicone injections just to have a feminine body to fit in with what people thought a beautiful female body looked like. And so I think that, you know, my journey was definitely different than others that are just out in the world, like not drag related. I came up in a very, like a very beauty based like surrounding as far as that goes, is that like people were trying to be like the most beautiful that they could be. They wanted to be these like, you know, mini celebrities. They wanted to be these like these gorgeous Barbie dolls. So I think that my journey was definitely influenced by that a little bit, as far as like I felt like if I could never be like that, then it kind of hit my like personality or my heart a little bit. It's like, okay, you know, I'm the big girl. I'm this, I'm that, you know? And so it's like, I remember that the Lady Pearl who used to host the shows at the University Club, I've always been someone like as, I know, RIP girl. But like, I've always been someone that regardless of my size, like I've tried to just embrace it and I've tried to embrace my beauty and my looks. And like, I remember one time like that I was wearing and I've always been, are we allowed to cuss on here? Are we allowed to use
this? Go for it, girl.
Okay. So I've always been a slut. So like, I've always embraced the like slut aesthetic of London. Like as far as like the entertainer, me, myself, I never have sex. So. London the entertainer, you know, I was always wearing provocative clothes, even at a larger size. And I remember one time, like I was performing and I came off stage and Pearl was like, she was like, oh, London thinks she's skinny. Like talking about like the outfit that I was wearing. And I was just like, I like came back out and I was like, no, I don't think I'm skinny. I think I'm confident. Like, I think I like what I'm wearing. I think I like what I'm doing. But it just like that, like struck a nerve of just like, you know, I'm being my version of beautiful. I'm being my version of confident. And then to have someone who's in the same community, who's like doing the same thing as me kind of, to like say that, like that my version is not, you know, quote unquote pretty enough or not skinny enough or whatever, was definitely hard and like I remember there were times, like, even in, I went to trans support groups, like, when I was younger, when I first started transitioning, and their mindset, it was a lot of older trans people that, you know, transition older, like later in life. And even with them, like they would say, oh, well, you know, you're just trying to be extravagant and you need to lose weight if you want to look passable, if you want to, you know, if you want to do that, you need to do this. And, so it was like, there's just like, there's always going to be other people's opinions on what you should be doing or what, you, how you should be looking. And it's like fighting that. If you want to. Now, if you want to embrace it and you want to, like, if it truly is not like a trauma response or like not a like, oh, I have to do this to fit in or to be this or whatever. Because there's something very brave about people that just do what they want to do, be who they want to be whatever style they want to do, whatever look they want to present. I think that that is marvelous. And I think that the more people that do it, the more it's okay, quote unquote, for everyone else to do it. So yeah, I just think that me personally coming up in my beauty journey is, I was very, very, beauty driven. Like it was very like, oh, you have to like be super polished and glamorous and this and that. So I think the drag definitely persuaded me in my own version of like what I think London, even as a trans woman, day to day, you know, wants to be.
Wow. It's wild for you, me to hear that because like I'm a person of size. I'm also black femme. I'm all those things. And I know Julia's going to make a face, but I'm kind of self-deprecating, or at least I used to be. And that has changed recently. And part of that is because I put my, I guess you could say I put anything that I had as an ideal, I kind of separated from my aesthetic. I've tried to go after things that don't involve my aesthetics, and I've had a shift in priorities. And with that shift, it helped out with my personal views of my own aesthetic and my beauty. And it's also helped me with my perception of other people and their beauty. And that's a different episode because I got to put the porn episode in there.
Yeah, we need one of those.
We got to get a porn episode in there because I'm tired of the girls in the ski mask doing those glory hole videos.
Like, oh my God.
Unless they're wearing lashes.
Oh, honestly,
if you're going to do it, make it a rhinestone ski mask and I want to see some lashes, honey.
There is a person who does that, and I have watched them frequently. I know I'm exposing myself, but it's kind of
She said, that credit card is hooked up to that OnlyFans account, bitch.
She said, honey, I pay my $7.99 a month.
Niche content. Niche content.
I'm yelling because it was $16.99.
Oh my God. She is down bad.
She got money. She got money. Ooh.
But for 300 plus videos, I think that's well worth it.
But you know the crazy thing though? Like, let's just be real. Like, people are so concerned about what you look like and they have nothing to do with you though.
So
like,
true.
It feels like, and I say this like, again, like kind of in Dolce's lane, like as a black person, as a heavier person, as, you know, whatever the fuck people think I am, like, it's crazy that you just can walk out of your house and like you have to fight to just feel like you had a good ass day just wearing normal clothes, right? Let alone, you know, deciding whether you can like wear a crop top with, you know, without reproach, or like you can look like your favorite celebrity or it person, right? You, like even outside of emulating other people, just living in your own comfort as a human being, being clean and presentable and walking outside of your door, like you could face, you know, like attacks on your mental health if you're not strong enough and not like confident enough to stand in that. And in your case, right, you talked about that example about that very prominent figure in, you know, our community who, you know, may she rest in peace, right? There's this idea that like even the people who are on your side are against you if you don't live up to whatever those established standards and norms are. So I know for me personally, like especially as someone who's watched you for years, I think it's really cool that you are one of the people I think about when I think about someone just like doing what the fuck they want to do, at least as best as they can. So I'll thank you for that for sure.
You're welcome. I think that the comments, like, like, oh, the drag is sickening, all that stuff. Like, some people are like, they live for that. They're like, oh my God, this is a sickening, sickening queen. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that doesn't about, like, I don't care less. Girl, I know that I'm mediocre at best, but the comments that I like the most are the ones that come to me like, oh my gosh, you know, it's so good to see. Cause even though I've lost a lot of weight, I'm still a big person. Like, I'm still plus size. I'm still tall. I'm still like big bone. Like, it's when people come to me and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you for being sexy. And thank you for like putting that out there. Like, thank you for like representing for plus size women or plus size people. that to me, like, or trans people, like that to me makes, that hits a lot closer. And that's probably why I still do it, is like to give people that representation, even if it's just locally, whether it's like cis or whether it's trans girls or whoever of any size or anything, to just have that representation of like, okay, well, I see she's doing it. Like, you know, let me give me a little piece and run out there. So when I get those comments, like that alone, like makes it so worth it. So that's why I'm so open. And I've only gotten more open, especially like on my Instagram and stuff like that, of like, I've been on this whole journey of like, even though I want to be as natural or want to look as natural as possible, like, you know, I just shaved my head last year, because I got some hair transplants because I hated the way my hairline looked. And so I wanted a more quote unquote feminine hairline, not that I'm trying to be like, you know, like passing Patsy or whatever, but like for me personally, like I just want hair that looks like good to me, you know, like I don't care what someone else would think, but I just want what I think looks good. And so it's like, I put that all online. I'm like, hey, you know, this is me with a shaved head. This is me, like, without any makeup on. It's like, because there are not enough people that do that. Like, I just watched I read this article with Kim K again, is where she's like denying having any kind of surgeries or any kind of even filler. I'm like, girl, like, mm-hmm. My whole thing is like, why perpetuate that? Like, I'm perfect. I don't need any of that. I've done all of this is all natural. Like, what is the point? It's only making it seem unattainable for other people. And they're going out and they're going to, I don't know, Tijuana for a $1,000 BBL or whatever. And like, they're getting messed up and they're getting botched and they're getting hurt because they're chasing these things that someone said, oh, well, I didn't need it, but if you want it, you can go get it. You know, like, it's very like tough. So I see all these Instagram people that are just perfection. They are just gorgeous men, women, trans people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But you don't see not a single bad photo on their Instagram. You don't see a single unfiltered thing, or, you know, I'm like, no, I don't want to be like that. I will show you all the, you know, that my version of London Barbie perfection or whatever, but you're also going to see all the like the horrible too. So it's like, I just wish more people were like that.
Oh, sorry.
No, you can go.
It makes me think of, does anyone follow K Michelle in this little powwow we're having now?
I don't follow her extensively, but I stay aware.
We know.
Yeah, we all know her. We know of her. She's an R&B singer, and the biggest thing when she came out was like, she was also a reality TV star. And the thing when she came out was that, like, oh my God, her ass is so big. And she's like a small, kind of like petite-ish woman. So her ass is so big, and she got, you know, her or I don't even know if it was a BBL, because I don't, like, it was before the whole craze.
She got the, like, Nikki aesthetic booty job.
She got the Nikki aesthetic booty job.
She got the Nikki edition, for sure.
And the thing is,
her and Cardi got the injection. Yeah,
well, Cardi, that's also another thing I was about to bring up, because with K Michelle, she got, I'm not really sure what it actually was, but it was like a bad job. Like, it was hurting her. It was like really making her sick.
She couldn't
and
walk.
She got it. She couldn't walk. Like, she actually got it removed. And then she had a show that was helping people that have had other botched, like, booty surgeries, or just like in general, just any surgeries that were making people sick. And her whole thing was kind of raising awareness about the dangers of kind of just getting a surgery from, you know, Joe Schmo, like in their basement. And then kind of like, you know, trying to change that narrative. And then like Cardi B, when she first came out, I remember her whole narrative was, oh my God, like I got my ass done in a basement in Brooklyn. And I don't really know what's in my ass right now. It could be like couch cushion. And like, obviously, like, Cardi B's, like, her thing is, like, her relatability and that she's funny. But I don't think, like, the girls took it in the same way that, like, they took K. Michelle's narrative. Because, like, they were like, oh, my God, like, let me go out and get my BBL in a basement. Like, because Cardi was just kind of talking about it in that way. It was, like, a different narrative she was selling. But it is all related. It's all, like, Cardi's a related thing. Cardi
was interesting, though, because I feel like, and I don't know if you remember this, but she had this very, like, arms race mentality about it. Like, I don't know if you remember the narrative, but it was like, I'm working in the strip club and these girls got fat asses and I don't have a fat ass. I'm like, get me a fat ass.
She don't get her ass.
I want to have the fat ass.
Right. She's like, I'm trying to make money. Like, I'm trying to get, you know, like, let's upgrade. Let's get nuclear. Like, that's kind of the conversation she was having. And I always think about that on sort of a meta level. Like, that's kind of what's going on, I think, when it comes to how some of these beauty standards that include modification are kind of spreading through our communities, whether they be queer, whether they be trans or cis. It's kind of like, that's what the girls over there got going on, and I need to keep up if I'm going to be
that self-comparison and even like that, like competition kind of thing. Like, I see it a lot in the drag community of like, oh, well, XYZ has this. I need to be better. Or I need to do this better. I need to have a bigger ass, or I need to have giant tits or something. And it's just like, it's crazy. Like, that it's like, is that just that person's own like dysmorphia talking? Is that their outside influences? Like, so it's crazy how much people are influenced by other people, whether they want to admit it or not, or like if, whether it's positive or negative. But yeah, I definitely think that, especially like with Cardi, with K. Michelle, is like, K. Michelle is bringing awareness to it now for sure, which is great. But it's like, how many people throughout the years did she inspire to get that stuff done? And it's like, okay, I'm like, I'm glad you're making it, you know, making it known now or whatever. I don't know how vocal she was back in the day of like, yes, this is not my real ass or whatever. Like, I think where I have a problem with is like when people are just like, oh no, I've had nothing done. Like, I'm just naturally perfect. Or like, and they've had like 5 nose jobs and they've had like, you know, they're sitting there with their silicone realistic mask on or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's just like, I think that perpetuates that like beauty standard that like, that you should be born perfect. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you.
That's a huge conversation too. Like, the idea of like this, like, natural purity of your beauty, like beauty as like an essence that you inherit from your mother and father, and therefore you need to like suss out any ugliness in your partners and in your
I woke up like this.
My family is like the wrong turn hillbilly, so I'm lucky I got what I got.
Okay.
Well, we are coming up on time. I wonder, should we keep going, or would you want to maybe get out one more line?
One more line.
How much time do you have for us, Lyndon?
Oh, we can...
Would we be cool to cap it at...
I cleared my schedule.
Thank you so much for that. Would we be cool to maybe cap it off at 9? Would that be all right with you, Mateo, and everyone else? Okay, cool. Because I really would love to... I would really love to talk through, because we're talking all about this, like, aesthetics and about what informs beauty standards and like what makes you beauty, what makes you, you know, beautiful, what makes you ugly or not ugly, right? I want to talk about how this goes into a couple things. First and foremost, like, I think I would love to learn more about what your goals are maybe for your personal life as far as maybe your career and finding love, because I know you're not a full-time drag queen. I know you have other things going on. I'd love to know more about what your goals are and how your aesthetic and your journey as a person who's, you know, like chasing after your own beauty standards, whatever they might be, how has that impacted those areas of your life that maybe we don't see when we're watching you on a Saturday?
Why are you so obsessed with
me? I know. It's crazy.
It's hard not to be. So where my journey is going, honestly, so my never ending, like, as happy as I am with all of my progress I've made, like, I just had to start back at the gym this week because I let myself slide. And I just had to start back to my dieting. It's like, I am perfectly fine being whatever size I am, but I'm just trying to be healthy. And I let myself slide into bad habits and things like that. So my goal is just to be healthy. Like, I find that, like, I could care less about what size I am, like how I look as far as that goes. Like, But I was just doing it. I was living very unhealthily, like, for a long time. So like my goal is just to be healthy as possible. And as far as like the beauty, like aspect, I don't really see myself, pursuing anything different than what I'm already doing. Like, as far as like, I mean, I'm trying to anti-age, girl. 40's coming up, as like it's right around the corner. So I'm trying to like do what I can do, like procedures, like Botox, fillers if I need them, you know, things like that. So my goals there is just to maintenance. Like, I just want to look as good as I can for as long as I can. And I think that being healthy definitely plays a part of that. Because, you know, it's like, if you're painting a beautiful masterpiece, but you're doing it on like a rough canvas, like that doesn't work. So, you know, I think that it definitely starts on the inside. And not only that, but I also have been thinking about getting back into therapy. Like, I think that I've had a lot of, I'm not going to say like, we'll just get real. Like, I'm not a depressed person, but I will say that as happy as I've been with a lot of my successes is like, I find that lately, or like in the last couple of years, that I kind of like get this negative mentality, as far as like regarding myself, of like, I could do better, or I could look, or I could look and do something better or whatever. So I think that that's one of my goals, is to start working on my mental health as well. And I think that my goals as far as like love and dating, if y'all single, come on over. I have no prerequisites, honey. I'll like, you know, as long as we vibe, I'm good. But yeah, I tried online dating, and that's been horrible. As a trans person, or a person that's not, you know, the quote unquote ideal size, or, you know, it's, there's a few things. I'm a niche market, as you all say, like, so, you know, I guess I wanted to slap on my rhinestone ski mask and catch me for, I'll only charge $5.99.
Stand worthy.
You're going to get a deal with me. but I would like to find someone to, you know, vibe with and share experiences with and things like that. That would be great. If not, cool, whatever. I'm fine with myself too. I have been looking at getting a pet as well. So I think that will help with my mental health. But as far as like my aspirations, as far as drag, I have a hard cap for myself at 40. I think that that's my limit. I don't want to be 70 and slugging around on the stage and trying to ask for dollars. I have a career. Drag is my fun, my outlet. It allows me to be glamorous and fun. So, you know, I think that that's what the future holds for me right now. Now, of course, that could change. I'm always open to change. And I think that that's one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older and as I've went through all these different phases, or I call them seasons of life. Like, I think that we have this ideal version of ourselves that is allowed to change over time, for sure. And if you don't allow yourself to adapt with that change, then that's where you kind of get in a rut. When I was 20, I had this version of myself, like of London, that I quote unquote thought would be perfect. Like, I literally wrote out a whole thing, list of things that I needed to like be the ideal London. And you know, now I'm 36 and I've done none of them. Like, so, oh, well, I got my hair done. Took me 16 years, but I finally got it done. But, yes. You know, so I think that it's allowed me, I also have lightened up on like what, I consider acceptable for myself as far as like gender norms, and the beauty perspective. I used to never leave the house without makeup. I used to never, like, I just didn't feel pretty without makeup. I felt like I just had to be this version of myself. But now I'm totally comfortable going out without makeup. And I used to always like have to show cleavage and this and that. Now I've gotten, I don't know if this is just part of getting older, but I've gotten more comfortable with myself, and I can wear like a men's t-shirt and not think twice of it, versus 10 years ago, as crazy as it sounds, that would make me feel like a man. Like, so it's like something so simple that over the years has allowed for me to just kind of embraced that side of myself. Like, I used to, anything that I perceived as masculine, I would push away. Like, literally, like, no. But now I'm like, I can have a little bit of both. Everyone does. And everyone leans a little further one way or another. So
that is so tea. I honestly like resonated so much with that last part, because honestly, when Dolce met me, this is back in like 2012. So like a little bit back day, I was like, I had this idea of queerness and like my own kind of like gender expression as I needed to be like looking femme, kind of like, or dressing femme, like kind of all the time. And that was like a lot of like women's clothes. And if I was not wearing women's clothes, it was like, am I like putting myself back in the closet? Almost like it's how I, and it's crazy. Cause like, again, it's like, it's so crazy to say that or like think that that was my reality. But like, yeah, if I was wearing like something baggy, I think I like started wearing baggy pants in like 2015, like legitimately. I was like, I can't go back almost. And it was like this thing in my head, like if I'm not wearing skinny jeans, like it's giving like, I want to be straight. And then I got to a certain point of like, no, like that's again, like this narrative I'm pushing in myself, or I'm just feeling more comfortable. And now I'm like, girl, I'm gonna walk out wearing anything I want. And I'm gonna still be this gay, queer little, you know, femboy or whatever the hell I want to be that day. So it's just like, it's so pervasive in the mind, like what you think you have to be and like all those like mental blocks and walls you put around yourself. And then when you break them down, it's like, I can still be the same person wearing, doing, putting on whatever I want to do and still be beautiful.
Yeah. And I think, right. Exactly. I think that that's where it ties into. I think beauty is really tied into our gender and our identity, our gender identity and our expression. Like it's, I think they're very much tied together. So it's a lot of our conversations has kind of went back and forth between it, but I think that to me personally, I think they're very tied.
Yeah. When I say I resonate like hell with what you said, it's crazy, especially because I'm going to go down rabbit hole too of time. But when I met Caputo, a couple of months ago, I'll be honest here, I got into a Google document that I could not get into, like a Google file. And I found my list of surgeries that I wanted back in the day. Like I found a list of 20 surgeries that I wanted, which was like a chin implant. I wanted a mandible restructuring. I wanted a shaved down jaw. I wanted liposuction, HA fillers within a couple of incisions. I mean, I used to talk about it so much. I had this crazy blown out idea of what I thought I could look like. I mean, and I was trying to live up to, this isn't going to get depressing, but even Caputo here, like I used to be a part of a friendship group where I didn't feel like I belonged with them because I didn't look like them. And I used to compare myself to even Caputo because she's tall and she's beautiful and she had all those great traits. And I just wished I was that person. But then the other day I looked back on my photo and I was like, God damn, I really was something, wasn't I? Like,
you were.
I had the light skin privilege. I was beautiful. I had the moment. It's just, it's crazy to me how perspective in life, you can completely shift your idea of beauty like that without even thinking about it. And you can look back on a photo and be like, wow, I regret not being that girl. There wasn't OnlyFans back then, but I should have had one because I really was that girl. And I just say all that to say that I really resonate with what you said, because honestly, a time shift and a perspective shift can really change almost basically everything about how you view beauty, how you view yourself, how you view others. All of
that. I'm going to say reason. This too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it too real quick. Dolce has always been the face. I'm going to put that out there. I've always known it. Even back then, Dolce, you've always been the face. You've always been the brow. You've always been the lip. And girl, you've always been the face.
A lot of things going on. We stand, honestly. It's
She's
funny
always
because
been that girl.
There's a reason we say that youth is wasted on the young, because like, I'm sure we've all looked at a picture from some of maybe even some of the most like insecure worst times of our life and been like, damn, she was kind of eating like, you know, you look kind of good. Like, what is going on? Like, I had a moment like that a couple of years ago and I'm still recovering, honestly, because especially as a person of size, right? You always think to yourself like, I'm this heavy or I'm this size, I'm this big, I take up this much space. And then I've learned in recent years that the reality of your actual body in space and your mentality around that is actually oftentimes really disconnected. And so there were times in my past where I was what you would consider, or maybe what I would consider to be like maybe like a more ideal for the marketplace or for the society I live in size. And I was thinking I was fat as fuck and just like undesirable and everyone hated me or whatever at the time. And so it's funny because just through the reality that I was not successful at least in my opinion, getting to the goals that I had, I just had to develop this sense of like, well, fuck it. Like, I know I look good. Like, I'm not ugly. I'm just chunky. I'm just heavy. Like, I still look good. I still like me. But like, looking back, there were so many times where in a picture or in just like, like some video that someone took, I was like, oh, like I was where I thought I should have been, but I just wasn't aware of it because I was stuck in this like mentality or this maybe just like echo of where I had been before. So I think it's so important to be like intentional. And you said that before about how you feel like we're all being persuaded on some level. And you just have to know if you're buying into it or not. Because if you know that, that's powerful too, right? Like,
right, exactly. Like if you know it and you're like, okay, I understand that, but I still want X, Y, Z. I still want to look this way. More power to you. Like there's absolutely no, there's nothing wrong with buying into the beauty standard if that's what you want to do. But I just want people to know that like they don't have to do that. And the more people that choose their own way, that's the only way it's going to change. So it's for sure. It's definitely that outside persuasion that gets us in our own minds about what we think is beautiful. And I mean, beauty has so many different things, like as far as like, even on like the, even when you look like a cisgender woman's journey, you know, youth and vitality is like the only thing, you know, like you have to be 20 and you have to be, you know, long hair and this and that. So it's like, I don't know how many times like that, you know, after I turned 30, even though I feel like I look my best now, like for sure, that like guys will be very interested in me, but they're like, oh, you're a cougar or you're this and that. I'm like, I'm 30. I'm like, you're acting like I'm like the damn Crypt Keeper over here with some nails on, you know, like, girl, like, so it's just like, you know, or they're like, oh, wow. I didn't know you were that old. I'm like, is that supposed to be a compliment? Like, I'm like, and I was like, yes, people can look good after 30. Like, I think a lot of people do grow into their looks. Honestly, I mean, you know, you got some people that start out just out the gate hot and they're just lucky or whatever. And then you have the people that honestly, like a majority of people, I feel like grow into their looks. So yeah, I think that perspective is definitely something that people need to keep in mind as well.
I remember when I first came out, I was like, all of the hot people are like 31, 32. And I never liked older people. That was never a thing. Like I was never into older men specifically, but I had this like real admiration for just like that relaxed energy that I think you get from being an older person who's just seen it and kind of gone through some of the trauma that comes with just growing up in this and where we've grown up. And I think there's something to be said about that. Like it's very like it gets better type of energy, which I try to be very careful about like espousing that. I think you actually have to like live in a better world for things to get better sometimes. But there is something to be said about just like waiting it out and just being intentional and being like kind of like what you talked about before, like watching your mental health and being a good steward over the body that you have, regardless of how it looks.
For sure. You only have one body, and without health and without mental health and physical health, you really have nothing. So like just to touch on like my recent changes or, you know, whatever in the last couple of years, like do people perceive me differently or things like that? Because I have aesthetically, you know, again, it's all seasons changing. So like I have had a shift in my aesthetic and like, you know, quote unquote, looking better by society standards or whatever. And I have noticed a change in how I'm perceived by some people. And it's like something like, like as an example, like I got a booking offered like for a drag show, here in Tampa. And it's like, I lived in Tampa for like multiple years as like bigger London, as like older London, you know, like my old aesthetic. And then it's like, I lost weight, got like some procedures, started like investing more in myself and my looks and stuff like that. And then I get offered to like have a booking. So it's like the critic or the cynic in me is like, Okay, I see you, sis. Like, the only reason is that, you know, I'm looking better now, so I'm getting that opportunity. And I like to think that that's not the case, but we all know how the world works. And it's like, I have seen a lot of people get opportunities just by the way they look. And that's just an unfortunate side of the world that we live in. So I've seen both sides of it for sure. Like, I never consider myself an ugly person. But would other people consider me at some point in my life? I'm sure. And did I fit, like, quote unquote, like, society's beauty standards? Definitely not. And it's like, I feel like I'm kind of leaning more into it now, just because of like my own like comfort of like what I want. But I would be lying if I said that my choices haven't been influenced by what society deems as beautiful. And I think that I can be honest in that, and I can say that, you know, I understand that some of my choices are because of what I think other people will find attractive or whatever. Because necessarily, like, I've seen this meme, and it goes to like the gay lifestyle. It's like, it's like there's like two guys, and it's like, there's like the chubby guy on one side, and it's like a chubby guy. It's like, gay lifestyle is like wanting this, but wanting to date this, but wanting a six pack for yourself. Like, so it's like, for me personally, like, I can find beauty in I can find people attractive in lots of different ways. So it's like, I don't like me wanting to use those beauty standards, like, for myself isn't, I'm not perpetuating, like, this is what you should do. Like, I'm saying that if you want to do it, make yourself happy, change what you can change, but be who you want to be. Like, so I think that that's a big thing where we all should get, I hope that everyone can get to that point where they choose what they want to do and they're aware of their choices.
Agreed. So I want to kind of end on a high note. So for London, how did you feel about our conversation today? I'm so glad that you came. Like, you were so sickening. It's amazing.
Yes, honey.
Mama. Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I hate talking on video. I hate talking on the phone. I hate talking in person, really.
Entertainer.
I'm very much turn it on for the stage and turn it off like when I'm off. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I really didn't have any idea of like what like we were going to discuss or anything like that. So I was a little bit nervous. I've done, I think, two podcasts in my life, other than this one. And I will say this one was very enjoyable, because it was nice, like, having that conversation, and hearing like how we're all so similar and then different in those ways too. So it's like, I really enjoyed it.
You hear that, listeners? You better keep listening. And also, go and find London. London, why don't you tell us where they can find you so they can also go and look you up and also come to Tampa?
Definitely. You can find me at University Club every Saturday and some Fridays. I'll be over there this Friday. I don't know when this is going to be released or whatever. But I am also on social media as Work It Lola. That's W-E-R-K. I-T-L-O-L-A. I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you can find my OnlyFans, good luck.
and the book.
It's actually Lola It Work.
And the book is coming out in 2029, right?
Oh, yes, in 2029. Look for me. It's going to be called If Wigs Could Talk.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, I live.
Yes. Yes.
I will. It'll be on back. It'll be on pre-order on Amazon. Please check her out on Amazon.
Pre-order
Books.
Actually opens next week. I need to see if y'all are going to spend some money to see how much effort I'm going to put into this book.
We need to gauge demand. Okay, we don't just write for no reason.
I don't just write for free or the three people that will buy it.
Thank you so much again for coming on the show. Honestly.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed it. And so if you ever want to talk about anything else, get your girl on.
Friend of the show. Yes, we see you. Yes.
All right.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
All right. Bye.
Bye, y'all.